Give Jesus praise, somebody. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, everyone. Oh, you know, we've been having such a wonderful time in prayer, so the voices may have gone, but that's okay. Glory to God. You know, with whatever voice God is giving you, He wants to hear it. Sometimes we think that worship is singing. Worship is not singing. Worship doesn't have to sound melodious. Glory to God. I always worship with my divine discord. Glory to God. And I'm excited about it because I know that the Lord receives my worship. He wants to hear my voice. He's got billions of children. But as long as one child is missing, He's not content. As long as your voice is missing, God is not content. Your voice matters to God. Say, my voice matters to God. 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 Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Your voice matters to God. So when you hear us singing those songs, I am glad, you know, it's a simple song, but it's a declaration of faith. You know, the Christian life has been called the great confession or the great profession, but it's more accurately rendered the great confession. In the Christian life, the Lord requires us to voice our faith. And today we're going to be talking about voicing our faith. Voicing our faith. You know, the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's a divine life. The life of God lived out in human experience. That is Christianity. You know, without a proper definition of what it is to be in Christ, you may never fully experience the fullness of the blessing. Definitions matter. Identity matters. You see, John the Baptist was a great prophet of God. The Bible declares through the confession and the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ that of all who were born of women, none was greater than John the Baptist. And even when the angel Gabriel came and announced John's identity, he told his father Zechariah that John will come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. When he was born, he was given an identity. But when they asked him, "Who are you?" he said, "I'm the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness," which was correct, but it wasn't the full definition of what God had anointed him to do. And without a clear identity, you cannot walk in the fullness of the power. Because Elijah had the ability to call down fire from heaven. Not only the ability to bring reformation and to turn people away from sin, which was John's ministry. Because John went about preaching. He went about telling the people, repent. Repent of your evil ways. So he brought that reformative ministry, the same ministry that was on the life of Elijah, because Elijah came and he told them to repent from worshiping false gods, and he purified the kingdom because all the false prophets of Baal were killed by Elijah because he purified the environment. But Elijah did not die by being killed. He just escaped and went into heaven. Glory to God. He just walked into heaven. In fact, Elijah was raptured by God. Elijah was a type of the church. Imagine if John carried that same unction, that same blessing, he shouldn't have been beheaded. He shouldn't have died the way he died. You know, sometimes we go through circumstances, we go through life believing that maybe this was God's plan. It was never God's plan for his prophet to be beheaded. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, plans to get you to an expected end. God doesn't want you to suffer. God doesn't want you destroyed. The Bible says the thief cometh only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life. God wants you to have life. So what made the difference between living in victory and living a defeated life? Knowledge. Acceptance. Identity and understanding. Glory to God. So in the Christian life, we need to understand what it's about. We need to always have that in our consciousness, that what does a Christian life mean? It's a supernatural life. It's a life lived in the Spirit. I want to read something to you. Psalm 119 and verse 19. Do we have another microphone? Okay, great. Who can be our reader today? Praise the Lord. I will get Pastor Esther to read for us. Psalm 119 and verse 19.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. The Word of God says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me.
He says, I am a stranger in the earth. The words of David. He says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You know, David was a great man of God. He was a man who really loved God. But he was a man who understood God. And to understand God is of more value than loving him. Because you can love someone you don't understand. And you cannot walk with him. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? But how can we agree if he's speaking to me in Twi? He's speaking to me in the native language of Ghana. And then I start speaking to him in Zulu. Even though I may appreciate him, because we are not understanding each other in terms of language, we won't have agreement. Because I wouldn't know what he's saying to me in Twi. He may be insulting me, glory to God. He may be calling me a baboon, hallelujah. And I may be calling him a baboon in my language. So sometimes if we don't have understanding, it ruins the fellowship. That's why understanding is important. He says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Hide not thy commandments from me. He knew that he was so young, even though he was aged. But he knew that in comparison with the world, understand this. We were born into the into a world that already existed before we came. We are so young. Even if you're 100 years old today, you are very young in comparison to the age of this world that we live in. So David was not a fool. He understood it. He said, Lord, I can't begin to create my own path in a world that I've already found existing. You don't go to a new school and set your own rules. The rules were already set before you got there. So you can go to a new country. Maybe I've moved from China and I've come to Australia. But the rules that function in China don't function necessarily in Australia. In some parts of Germany, there is no speed limit. And if I take that German road and I bring that road rule here and I say, well, in Germany on the Autobahn, there's no speed limit. Then you come into the city and I start speeding around. Will I not get arrested? Of course I will. Glory to God. Because I can't come into a new environment with my own revelation. So David understood the principle. He learned how to have a teachable spirit. And the key to developing your spiritual life is having a teachable spirit. That's why we come to the house of God. You know, sometimes we come to church. Why do we come to church? We come to church to be taught the word of God. Without training, we can't really do anything to a good standard. If you're going to be a doctor, you've got to train to be a good doctor. If you're going to be a lawyer, you've got to train to be a good lawyer. If you're going to be an accountant, you've got to train to be a good accountant. Whatever you're going to do, if you're going to do it well, you have to be trained for it. If you're going to live the authentic, victorious, Christian, triumphant life, then you have to be trained for it. So when we come to the house of God, suddenly I know why I come to church. I come to church to be taught the word of God. I come to church to develop my spirit. Because I don't learn just by being in an environment. The same way I don't learn the syllabus at university just by being at the campus. I've got to attend the lecture, glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I've got to open up the textbook. How many of you wrote an examination for which you never studied a day in your life and you got a high distinction in that examination? It's not possible. Except it was an essay, glory to God. And you just started talking. But in a mathematics paper, if you don't know the answer, you don't know the answer, glory to God. X squared plus Y squared has an answer, glory to God. If you don't know it, you don't know it. Praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Father, for granting me a teachable spirit. So life is not a game. Life is not a rehearsal. Don't allow your life to be a rehearsal. Don't live your life on assumptions. Don't live your life on ideas that are not proved. Like David, he said, I will not go to war. One time, David was given an opportunity to fight Goliath. And then King Saul said to him, come, young man, you seem like you've got courage. Let me give you my armor. Let me give you the king's sword and the king's armor. And David put it on and he felt it. It looked like, okay, it might fit on me. But he wasn't comfortable in it. And he made a striking statement. He said, I will not use anything I have not tested before. I will not go to battle with untrained or untested armor. It may be good for you, Saul, but I haven't used it. And that is why David never lost a battle in his life. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name. So the word of God is spiritual law. The word of God is God himself. The word of God reveals the plan, the purposes of God. The same way when you come into a country, every country is governed by a constitution. A set of laws and rules. And if you follow those rules and laws, you will live comfortably in that country. But the moment you begin to break those rules and regulations, suddenly life becomes difficult. Suddenly, rather than staying in your house, you're staying in a cage. Suddenly, now, you're being arrested all the time, and you're wondering, what do they want with me? What have I done wrong? Well, you have ignored the Constitution. You have ignored the laws. Sometimes we cry, and we say, oh God, why is my life this way? How come I'm going through all these storms? But remember, it's one thing to go through persecution. It's another thing to be destroyed because of ignorance. A lot of times what destroys us is our lack of knowledge. He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. In Hosea 4 verse 6, he says, my people perish. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Not because situations of life are too dire, are too powerful, but because they do not know. Say, I refuse to be ignorant. I refuse to be ignorant. I want us to read again Psalm 119 and verse 67. Something that David said. I told you, David was a man of understanding. David was a man of understanding. And I'm going to get Brother Kobe just to read for us Psalm 119 from verse 67.
Thank you, Pastor. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
Read it to us one more time.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
He said, before I was afflicted. So David had an understanding of how affliction came, of how trouble came, of how failure came, of how defeat came. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I journeyed out from the word of God. I journeyed out of the revelation of the word. I journeyed out of the way of wisdom. I functioned according to my mind. I functioned according to what I felt and what I thought. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Whoo, doesn't the word of God just electrocute you like that? Glory to God. It gives you understanding. The Bible says the entrance of his word bringeth forth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. It gives understanding. It gives understanding. It gives understanding. If I can understand, then I can do well. Glory to God. As long as I can understand the content, I will win. It doesn't matter how difficult the examination question becomes. As long as I have an understanding of the subject, as long as I have an understanding of the answer, of the solution, I will do well. That's why many people failed in mathematics, because in mathematics, it's not about claiming an answer. It's about understanding a concept. And if you understand the concept, you'll do well in every question. Because it wasn't testing whether or not you could regurgitate an answer, but it was testing whether or not you understood the principle. Are you learning something? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I journeyed out of the word of God. I began to speak negatively. I began to talk defeat. I began to talk inability. I began to talk lack. I began to talk fear. I began to say things that I thought were just expressions of my feelings, but I didn't understand that I was talking myself down. I was removing spiritual power, spiritual initiative from my life because of my words. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say with your mouth, you will enjoy, whether for good or for evil. Job went through so much persecution. You know, we read about Job, and Job is cut out to be this man who God tested, who God punished, who God allowed Satan to really give a hard time. And then we feel like Job was this divine example. God didn't need to punish Job to prove a point. God is not in the business of proving himself to anyone, even the devil. So why then was Job afflicted? Why then did Job go through his struggle? It wasn't because God wanted to prove his character. No. God already testified of Job. God already testified that, look at my son Job. There is none like him. He's a righteous man, a man after my own heart. So God already had a mindset, a viewpoint about Job. So how come Satan had access to Job's life? How come Satan came? How come the wind of destruction came? Because Job said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. His confession broke the hedge of protection around him. The angel of God mounts guard over you, mounts guard over your family. But the day you spoke negatively, you broke the hedge. The day you said, oh, everybody gets sick, suddenly sickness now comes into your life. And you wonder, where is this cough coming from? Where is this pain coming from? It came from your mouth. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Glory to God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. He found the solution of change. He found the secret of turning around any situation. He said, but now have I kept thy word. It doesn't matter where you are right now in your life. You can make a change. You can make a change. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing right now. You can make a change. It doesn't matter the trajectory. Maybe you started off 2019 with joy, with peace, with so many resolutions, and suddenly now you found yourself at the end of September. What have you achieved? Time is passing, but what do you have to show for it? Don't allow time to pass without you making progress. Remember, you will never get another today. Today is finished. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. I want to read something more to you. So we talk about this man of understanding, how David had an understanding of spiritual law. He had an understanding of God's word, an understanding of the ways and the workings of God. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not." Verse 10. "Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart." Remember, this was the secret of change. God was speaking to Isaiah the prophet because God wanted to bring judgment on Israel. And he goes on to talk like this in verse 9. He says, and he said, go. And okay, let's go to verse 8. "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I," now that's Isaiah the prophet. So he heard God's voice. God was saying, "I need someone to send. Who shall I send? Who shall go for us?" "Then said I, here am I, send me." And in verse 9, God began to give him his assignment. And he said, "Go, tell this people, hear ye indeed. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. Go to the lecture, but understand not. Go to the tutorial, but understand not." So it doesn't matter how many lectures you've attended, as long as you lack understanding, the result at the end of the semester will be the same. It will be as though you've never attended any lecture. Yet you were going to university all semester. Yet you were going to the house of God every Sunday, every Wednesday. Yet you were in churches, in conferences. The proof of your attendance is not that you were present, but in your transformation. That's what you need to work on. How much has my life changed? What have I become? Hallelujah. "Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Verse 10. I want us to read verse 10 together. It's on the screen. One, two, go. That means if you understand with your heart, the next thing that will happen is you will convert. There will be a conversion about you. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good." That means his testimony changed after he had understanding of God's word. His testimony changed. Understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the key to seeing change is understanding. Psalm 82 and verse 5. We're talking about voicing our faith, understanding these principles of faith. Because if you don't know why you should voice your faith, if you don't have the understanding, we can say voice your faith all you like. But if you don't understand why, it won't work for you. So that's why understanding is the most important gift you need to ask from God. This week, all week, be praying and asking Lord, to the Lord, and say, Father, grant me understanding. Grant me understanding of your word. Grant me understanding of your ways. Help me to understand prayer. Help me to understand faith. Help me to understand your presence. Help me to understand the Holy Spirit. This will give you progress. You begin to find you are developing, you are growing, you are making progress. And can I tell you something? Success is good. How many of you, you want to be a failure? You want to fail. You want to be the last in the class. How many of you, you want to be a success? You want, say, I want to be a success. Say, I am a success. In the name of Jesus. I am a success. I am a success. Do you know, the way you're voicing it out is a spiritual law. It's called the law of confession. Unless you say it, it won't come to you. Your voice matters. Say, my voice matters to God. I want us to read Psalm 82 and verse 5. It's on the screen, if we can. Let's read it together. One, two, go. He says, they know not. They know not. So the first barrier is ignorance. But if Satan can't stop you from hearing, he will stop you from understanding. Can I tell you something? The thief cometh only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what is he coming to steal? What is he coming to kill? What is he coming to destroy? There is only one thing Satan wants from you. It's not your house. It's not your money. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's the word of God in your spirit. The Bible says, when the sower went to sow the word, Satan came immediately to steal the word that was sown. Satan's only agenda in your life is to rob you of God's word. Because Satan wants to take my car. He doesn't need your car. As long as he removes the word of God from your spirit, you have nothing. Because it is from the word that everything else is created. If God's word is removed from you, then you have no ability, because the word of God is the power of God. Paul said, in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation and unto them that believe. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Hallelujah. He knew that the word of God is God's power. Understanding. They know not, neither will they understand. Neither will they understand. Neither will they understand. So understanding matters. Pray for understanding. In your prayer time, crave understanding. Desire understanding. He said, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Can I tell you something? Whatever you seek after, you shall find. He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given. Understanding. Glory to God. Say understanding. Say the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding. He says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. That means their lives are in disarray. Everything about their lives is in shambles. Everything about their lives is a confusion. Everything about their lives is a paradox. Verse 6. Let's read verse 6 together. One, two, go. What are you reading right now? Are you reading some manuscript from your mind? What are we reading? The Word of God, the Bible. Who's speaking here? God. What is God saying to you? Read it again. One, two, go. Okay, what did God just tell you? You see, when you have a religious mind, it's hard to receive that, because you're saying, God, what do you mean? You're not speaking. It is God speaking it. It is God saying it. He says, I have said, ye are gods. And all of you are the children of the Most High. Is God your father? Are you a child of God? He's talking to you. Say, he's talking to me. 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 So when the word of God comes to you, remember, he's talking to you. It's not just, oh, one time God randomly said, I have said you are gods. He's saying to you, I have said you are a God. Because a God gives birth to a God. A goat gives birth to a goat. A dog gives birth to a dog. A bird gives birth to a bird. A God gives birth to a God. You've got to accept it. Don't fight it. Remember, the key to spiritual growth is having a teachable spirit. Remember, nothing can exist in a vacuum. When the word of God comes to you, you have to make room to receive it. As long as you are full, the word of God can't enter into your heart. Make room. Say, I'm making room for the word. I'm making room for the word. He says, I've said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. Verse 7. Oh, glory to God. I love this. But he shall die like men, because they know not, neither will they understand. Even though I've said they are gods. Even though I've said you shouldn't be sick. Even though I've said you shouldn't fail. Even though I said you would be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Even though I said I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, plans to get you to an expected end. But because they know not, neither will they understand, they shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse to be ignorant. I refuse to lack understanding. Psalm 119, and we're going to go to verse 27. I told you, David, and Psalm 119 is a great manuscript of the power of God's word. When you meditate on Psalm 119, I'm telling you, you will have a greater appreciation of God's word in your time, in your spare time. As you go home throughout the week, meditate on Psalm 119. Spend time in it. It'll grow your faith. It's a faith booster. Glory to God. You know, people get the flu vaccine. Get the faith vaccine. Glory to God. That will do much more than the flu vaccine. Because it will work for anything. The flu vaccine only works for flu. Glory to God. It won't work for anything else. But the faith vaccine works for everything. Glory to God. Because faith works in any realm. In Psalm 119, he says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. This was David, a man who knew that, Lord, it's not enough for me to worship you. It's not enough for me to love you. Teach me your ways. Teach me your word. Because your word is the revelation of you. I don't know a man just because I spend time with him. I know him from his message. You may have never met Jesus physically, but do you know you can know him through his message? You can know him through his message, through his word, through what he said. Hallelujah. I may be around Brother George, but if I don't look at his writings, maybe he's an author. If I really want to know his heart, even if I don't spend physical time with him, it makes no difference. As long as I can read his books, I can capture his heart. And that is important to understand. The word of God is important because, remember, emotionalism is not spirituality. Feeling God doesn't mean he's there. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Ooh. How I wonder, oh Father, how you are. So I can feel emotional. Will anything happen because I've said twinkle, twinkle, little star? Come on, talk to me. Will this roof fall off and stars fall on my head? Even if I add tears to it and start crying, Would anything change? Nothing will change. Sometimes we cry, oh, look at my situation. Nothing will change. Oh, I'm in pain. Oh, this is so bad. In fact, it's getting worse. The more you're speaking death, the more you're speaking that situation, the more you're speaking your problem, you are compounding it. Because in the realm of the spirit, angels respond to your word. Demons respond to your word. If someone was here and I said, you'll never do anything productive in your life, I've released a curse. And demons will be ready to act it out. A child of God can control two creatures, angels and demons. When you bless, you release angelic activity. When you curse, you employ demons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the moment you employ demons, suddenly the angels stop working with you. Be careful what you say. Hallelujah. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes, verse 27. I want us to read verse 27 together. One, two, go. Read it one more time. Did he say, make me to love you? Did he say, make me to feel you? Make me to hear you? He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk. He's giving us a secret. So shall I talk. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. That means talking matters. I don't believe God's wondrous works. I talk them. That's why I testify. Why is voicing your faith so important? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Let's turn there quickly. Because we're talking about voicing your faith. Understanding, voicing your faith. Having understanding. Say, thank you, Father, for granting me understanding. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. Another rendering in the Amplified. Can we get it from the Amplified if we can? Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Glory to God. Someone says, but I don't even own anything. As long as you've got faith, brother, you've got a title deed. At least one you can hold. Most people don't have any title except on a screen. Glory to God. Because the bank actually has the title deed. Glory to God. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Faith is the title deed. If you own a house today, do you need to carry it here for you to prove you have a house? Come on, talk to me. Do you need, maybe you own a few houses, do you need to then get a builder to put them on some trucks and then carry them in a car? And then I told you I own a house. If I did that, I'll be foolish. If I need to prove my ownership, all I need to bring is a document that has my name on the title. Glory to God. Faith is your title deed. Faith is your title deed. Someone says, how do I know it belongs to me? Faith is your proof. Faith is your title deed. Glory to God. It is your right of ownership. The title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let's go back to the King James, and I'm going to read from verse 2. It says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. If you want to change any outcome, it's going to be by faith. If you're going to change a health condition, it's going to be by faith. If you're going to change a situation in your job, in your business, in your career, it's going to be by faith. Anything God does, he does by faith. God doesn't move by flesh. God doesn't move by emotions. He moves by faith. And faith is based on the revelation of God's word. Without the word of God, there is no manifestation of faith. This is a simple principle you need to understand. What is faith? Faith is acting on what God has said. Unless God said something, you cannot have faith for it. Faith only exists in the presence of knowledge of what God has said. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Important. For by the elders obtained a good report, verse 3. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. Remember, understanding is coming again and again. Again, even in faith. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds, and that word worlds means the course of life, the life and times. If we say the life and times of John Howard, the life and times of Jesus Christ, the life and times of Cleopatra, we are talking about the things that happened to them, the experiences they had, the battles they fought, the things that came upon them along their path. Through faith, we understand that your life and times, the things that came to you, the victories you enjoyed, the defeats you endured, were framed by the word of God. Either the word that you spoke or the word that you neglected. Because remember, if you don't sow seed in a piece of land, something will still grow. If I don't sow seed, I will still find a harvest. Because if I don't grow crops, weeds will still come out. What are you growing in your life? What are you growing in the garden of your heart? In the garden of your spirit? What seeds are you sowing? What seeds are you sowing into your family? What seeds are you sowing into your children? What seeds are you sowing into your finances? All this is important. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, our life and times, were framed by the word of God, were carved by the word of God. That means my life and times, the circumstances of my life, is carved by the word of God that I speak forth. That means I can make myself a glorious journey. Hallelujah. I can give myself a beautiful week. Glory to God. As you go into this month of October, let it be a month of testimonies. Let it be a month of victories. Let it be a month of dominion in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that every battle that you have endured up until this time is coming to an end. In the name of Jesus. That's one of the reasons you come to the house of God, to hear these blessed words. Because these words are framing your life. These words are covering your life and times. Even though sickness has plagued your body, I decree that in the name of Jesus, that you will walk in health, you will walk in vitality and strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You see why we come to the house of God? Just hearing those blessed words, because your heart is a seed. Your life is a seed. Your life is a ground. And as long as the word of God is coming, you just get as much seed as you can. Glory to God. Glory to God. I can't come to church and leave empty. I can't. It's not possible. If I go to a restaurant, it's up to me to eat the food they've made. There is food there. All you have to do is eat it. Can the waiter come and say, okay, here's some steak. They put it in front of you. Do they feed it in your mouth? Come on, some of you, you went to the restaurant. Then the waiter saw you weren't eating, and then he took the steak, took a knife or a fork, and put it in your mouth and said, eat. They won't force you to eat. God has prepared a banquet of blessings for you. All you have to do is to receive them. Say, I receive them now. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. The things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. The things that are seen. So this thing that is seen wasn't made by what is physical, but it was made by words. Because before this chair was made, someone said, I will make a chair. Come on. Before there was a physical house, someone said, I will build a house. Glory to God. Before the car was purchased, someone said, I will buy a car. So ever before the purchase came, the words were spoken. Glory to God. Before someone ate the food, someone says, I will eat that meal. Glory to God. So words precede realities. First, there must come the word, and then God performs it. The Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing until he revealeth his secret to the servants, the prophets. Because what is the primary assignment of a prophet? To declare the word of God. To release God's word. I want to read something to you from Mark 11, and we're going to read from verse 12. One of the last examples for this service, but I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Say, I have understanding. From today, I will carve my future. I will carve my health. I will carve my family. I will carve my children through my words. He says, and this is Jesus. Now, Jesus was coming from a certain place. Someone said to me one day, Pastor, did Jesus ever eat food? Of course he ate food. He enjoyed food. Glory to God. In fact, he came from a place called Bethlehem. That means house of bread. Glory to God. So he loved bread. Hallelujah. In fact, when he prayed, he said, Lord, give us this day our daily. So, and then he added to it in Matthew 4:4, he says, man shall not live by. I told you he loved bread. Glory to God. He used it in so many examples. He said, in fact, he added to that and says, I'm the bread of life, and the bread that came down from. He loved bread. So if you love Jesus, you should love bread too. I'm just playing with you. And on the morrow, but not really, I think you should really love bread. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Say, Jesus could get hungry. So if I'm hungry, it's a good thing. Hallelujah. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. He said, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. So he saw a fig tree that had leaves. It had a sign of life. He came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. Say, the time of figs was not yet. That means it wasn't the season for figs. Why is Jesus expecting figs when it's not the fig season? Why is he expecting 35 degree weather in winter? Is Jesus, has he lost his mind? Why did Jesus curse a tree that was following its schedule? Why? Today God will give you understanding. Because if Jesus cursed the tree, it's one thing to curse a tree in the season of figs because it's not doing its job. The fig tree did nothing except be and follow the schedule. But when God intervenes, protocol is broken. When faith is involved, everything changes. Faith is God's interruption. What is a miracle? A divine interruption into natural affairs. That's a miracle. So we find here, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Let's read verse 14 together. Want to go? Let's read verse 14 again. And Jesus, question, can you answer unless something has spoken to you? Can you just answer randomly? Yes. Come on. Okay, you're just walking. No. People, you'll look at him the way you're looking at me now. Say, is everything connected there? So, and Jesus answered. And Jesus answered. Come on here. Let's go back to verse 13. That means situations need a response. If you find that your account is empty, you need to answer that account. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Jesus knew that when situations come, don't be quiet. Oh, the fridge is empty. Don't say it. Ask the fridge, why are you empty? Come on, talk to me. I mean, if you want to really be like Jesus, the Bible says, be imitators of God. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. So what Jesus did, I'm just going to copy and paste. Hallelujah, glory to God. If I do what he did, I'll get what he got. If I will say what he said, I'll get what he got. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? How many of you want Jesus, the Jesus kind of results? The Jesus kind of results. I want them, glory to God. Do you? Do you? Okay, let's find out how we can get them. Glory to God. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. He found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. He found nothing but leaves. He was hungry. He had a need. And the presence of a need means the provision has been found. Because within every problem lies the seed of its own solution. If Jesus saw cancer, he would have asked, where is the healing? You're not getting it. If Jesus got thirsty, he would have said, where is the water? Because deep calleth unto deep. I couldn't be hungry except there was filled to fill my hunger. I couldn't be thirsty unless there is water to quench my thirst. I couldn't have a desire except God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think according to his power that works in me. As long as I have a desire for something, it's proof. It is God that worketh in me. It is God that worketh in me. It is God that worketh in me, both to will and to do. Both to will and to do. Both to will and to do. Glory to God. Okay, question. Do you want to be the Prime Minister of Australia? Do you? No. That is why she'll never be. Because God hasn't put it in her heart. Do you hope one day to open up a hospital? Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the proof that desire is from God is the fact that she has it. If God never wanted her to have that hospital, she would never want to have one. Come on. Come on here. Someone says, how do I know the will of God? How do I know if God wants me to have it? Because you have it. So suddenly, you're no longer saying, God, is this your will? As long as you will it. Whatever you ask the Father, because he knows that whatever you ask is what is in your will. And because it is in your will, it is God's that worketh in you both to will and to do. That means the willingness was put there by God. The same way she doesn't want to be a prime minister is proof God doesn't will it for her. As long as I have a will, it is from God. Because I could never will something that God hasn't given me if he didn't put it in my heart. Hallelujah. What is in your will today? What is in your heart today? What do you desire? Someone says, I don't know if God wants me to get married. Do you will to have a family? Yes. It's God's will for you to have a family. Hallelujah. As long as you've got that will, God wants you to have it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because for a lot of God's children, this is where Satan defeats them. He says, it's not God's will for you. You know, God said, ask according to his will. Find out God's will. And then you live your life in ignorance. You spend 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying for God to ask, to tell you whether it's his will. And God is saying, what are you doing here? If it wasn't my will, you wouldn't have the capacity to envision it. Do you think you're that smart to want to build a hospital? You think you're just that smart? You're not. Who's crazy enough to do such a thing? That's a crazy idea. So the fact you want to do it is proof it's from God. Oh, glory to God. That means I'm no longer arguing with God. I'm no longer fighting with God. I'm no longer fighting with my spirit, because now I know the will of God for my life. And in him it's yes and amen. Glory to God. I decree that whatever is in your heart today, in the name of Jesus, it is coming to fruition. It is coming to pass. It is coming to fruition now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Sit down for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I found my way. Say, I now understand. I now understand. As long as it's in my heart, it is your will, Father. Let your will be done. Glory to God. Let your will be done. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God. Woo! Glory. Woo! I feel something. I feel something. Someone is about to move to the next level. Someone is about to move to the next stage. I see a promotion coming to someone's life. I see something being built. I see that hospital being built. I see that company being built. I see that life being changed. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't know if God wanted me to be the manager, but I did like it. I did think about it. I did envision it. If I have envisioned it, God dropped it in my spirit. That means it's mine. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see that hospital? Can you see the wards? Can you see the matrons? Can you see the nurses? Oh, can you see the doors? The doors are opening now. Can you see the builders are building now? Can you see them in their work suits now? Glory to God. Woo! Because remember, your imaginative ability is your creative power. As long as you can't envision it, you can't create it. If you can't see yourself in that office, you will never be there. The fact that you have that vision is proof God wants you there. So suddenly, you are now in agreement with God. I'm no longer speaking Twi and Zulu. Now we're speaking in one language. Now we understand each other. Now we can walk together. Now God can say, come, let's walk together. We are going to get that hospital built. Glory to God. Now we can walk together and we are going to get that marriage established. Glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? Because now I have agreement. Now I understand him. Glory to God. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Let's go on to verse 20. Glory to God. And I'm just going to get the worship team to come back. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, I want to answer that question. Why did Jesus expect something from that fig tree? Genesis chapter 1 and 4. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. I want to read it to you. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. Let's go to verse 3. Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let's read verse 3 together. One, two, go. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. Verse 6. Verse 7. Verse 8. Verse 9. And God said. Says, I have said ye are gods. And all of you are the children of the Most High. How did God create? By saying. Let's go to verse 14. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Didn't Jesus say, you are the light of the world? So Jesus, the light, comes to a fig tree. But what is the purpose of a light? And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let the lights be for signs. And for that means the appearance of a light means the change of a season. That means the season wasn't determined by the sun. The season wasn't determined by time, but by the presence of light. It is light that determines whether or not a seed will begin to germinate. The light activates the process. Jesus appearing in close proximity to the fig tree should have meant the fig tree starting to produce figs. Because Jesus knew that he is the light of the world. The light came to the fig tree. And his appearance should have meant figs start growing out. The fig tree had no excuse. Because the Bible says, and the season of figs hadn't come until Jesus came. So any fig tree Jesus met had come into season. Anytime you encounter the light of God, the season has come. The entrance of his word bringeth forth light. God's word is light. That means the entrance of the word means the season has changed. Come on, someone is about to enter a season of manifestation, a season of experience, a season of expansion. I decree and declare that in the name of Jesus, that the season has shifted in your favor. From this moment, whatever dream you had in your heart, whatever desire you had in your spirit, whatever it is that God has put on your heart to do and to accomplish, the light of God has come to you. The season has changed. The environment is ready. The atmosphere is saturated. Everything has been prepared. It's time to arise and shine. Stand up on your feet. Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord yourself. As the choir just worships with us, just lift your hands toward heaven and release yourself. Release yourself. Release yourself.
This is your season. It's time to shine again. In a world where there's seasons and time.
This is your season.
Shining every day.
Shining
every day. In a world where there's seasons and times.
This is your season. Time to shine. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season. Seasons and time.
This is your season.
This is your season.
It's time to shine again.
It's time to shine. This is your season.
It's time to shine again.
It's time to shine again.
In a world, in a world, in a world where there's
seasons and time.
This is your season.
This is your season. It's time to shine again.
Every day.
Worship him, somebody.
Every day, every day. Come on, you're shining every day. Lift up your hands and say hallelujah. We say every day we're shining. Say every day. Every day. Every day.
Every day.
We're shining every day. We say in a world where there's seasons and times. Come on and shout it out. Hallelujah. Because in the world where there's seasons. Say, this is my season.
This is my season.
I'm shining every day.
I'm shining.
Say, I choose to shine. I choose to shine in a world. In a world where there's seasons and times. This is my season. Say, this is my season. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to someone and say, you're shining every day. Every day. Bring it up. Every day. Every day, you're shining every day. Want you to point to someone.
Come on, sing it to him.
Say you are shining, Vicky. Somebody say you're shining every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Say you're shining every day. What else you want in your head? Every day. You know you're shining. You have the word and you say, every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day,
hey!
We're shining every
hallelujah,
day.
We're shining every day. Every day, we say every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
We are shining.
Every day.
We're shining
every day.
Oh,
yes, Jesus, we are shining every day.
Say we are shining every day.
Every day. Every day.
Come on and say it.
Every
do
day.
Do you believe it?
Shining every
when the
day.
Word of God is working, oh, we say I am shining every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
You're
we're shining every day.
Hallelujah.
Every day.
We worship you. Every day I am shining for you.
Every day
I am winning for you.
Every day
I am soaring.
Every day we're shining every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Today.
Every day. We're shining every day.
Oh,
yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
In the world where this season, where there is time, Lord.
This is
my season.
I'm shining every day. Just lift your hands toward heaven. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season to blossom. It's your season to thrive. It's your season to succeed. It's your season to win. It's your season to move forward. Open your mouth. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him now. Open your mouth and pray, 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 pray. Whatever is on your heart right now, talk to him. Talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him now. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see over your life? What do you see over your family? What do you see over your dream? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Angels are being sent now, ministering on your behalf, bringing resources to you, opportunities, circumstances, approvals are being granted. In the name of Jesus. Authorizations are being given. Doors are being opened. Situations are being changed. That diagnosis is being changed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That marriage is being established. That home is being built. In the name of Jesus. Oh, something is happening now. 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 In the name of Jesus. Doors are open now. Oh, Father, we worship you. Father, we glorify you. Father, we honor you. We thank you, Father, that you have opened up every door. You have opened up every opportunity. Thank you, Father, that this is a week of open doors. 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 Thus said the Lord, it's your week of open doors. It's your week of open doors. Go ahead and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate.
I worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.